CliffCentral.com. Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
Sanbonani, I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Joining me once again today is Kate, Duncan, and Lionel.
Hello,
welcome to
everybody.
All three of you.
Hello, 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 everybody.
Gary, apologies for the previous song. Honestly, I saw a bunch of beautiful white people in here, and I immediately assumed that they would all love the song.
Duncan, you know I love hip-hop. Okay, for next time. Okay, today live in studio and very much alive is the wedding anniversary miracle man who fought death with all his might after being struck by a bolt of lightning. We are grateful to host you today, Eric McKechnie, and with you, your wife, Gwen. Both of you, welcome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Also in studio is someone that is not easy to get into studio. His name is Professor Ephraim Kramer, and he's an expert on lightning matters. So he's going to give us the lowdown.
Thanks very much. I'm one of the whiteys around here.
Yeah.
Well, always good when we can actually get a professor in studio. You guys are notoriously difficult to get away from your desks.
He certainly is. On a lighter note, and later in the show, one of my favorite guests, Carly Collins. And after Carly heard about the near-death experience of Eric on his anniversary, she agreed to join us today and she's going to tell us how to really create a star-struck anniversary celebration.
Oh, thank you for having me back. And nice to know that I was one of your favorite guests. Thank you.
Good. Carly is an events planner extraordinaire and also the owner of South African School of Weddings. Have I got all that right?
That's yeah. Great.
If you'd like to join with us today, please let us know. Phone us on 0861-555-189. You can Skype us on cliffcentral.com or you can message us, Kate.
Yes, get us on Twitter at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W.
Cool. So, Eric and Gwen, thank you for joining us. We know that lightning is a serious problem in South Africa and worldwide. You have some horrific story to tell us. You went on your
24th, 6th wedding anniversary, it is.
Yeah, okay. Where did you go to?
We went to the Cavern Hotel just down the road from Bergville.
Yeah. What happened?
So we'd been there since the Friday we'd left, and our wedding anniversary, as I said, the 6th one is on the 29th, hence 24 years. And my wife had been wanting to go up there for some time. We managed to palm off our daughter of 21. She's disabled. And anyway, we arrived at the hotel on the Friday and we did our things. I'm generally an outdoorsy type person, off-roading, 4x4ing, fishing and the likes. And the Saturday we went for a good walk up the mountain. We did Sunrise Ridge. Unfortunately, Gwen had the wrong shoes and her calves started hurting rather badly. We got back in time for breakfast that morning and then went and just took it easy for the day. After lunch, we actually met Derek, the owner of the cabin, and he mentioned to us we should take a ride out and go and see Mlaluzi, which is down the road, his brother's lodge. So because of Gwen's lack of mobility at the time, we then decided on the Sunday to go for a drive after lunch. We went for a drive, went and had a look at the lodge, and then went further down the road to another resort where we'd spent some time ago and had some coffee there. The clouds were building up over the mountain, a little bit of rumbling, but not much. On the way back, driving back, we saw the shaft of light coming through the clouds, and it made a fantastic photograph. So anyway, I pulled off, I know exactly even now where I would have pulled off. Can take you back to the spot. Opened the door and took my watch off. Now, usually it's a metal band watch, and I never take it off. I only take it off when I shower or when I go mountain biking, and then I put on a polo. So I took off the watch and took my daughter's camera, put my elbow on the roof of the car, which means I was head and shoulders above the car. And in essence, that's the last I remember.
At that stage, I was sending or trying to send a WhatsApp message to my daughter-in-law in Dubai. They stay in Dubai. They're actually coming out to visit us this week to see if Dad's okay. And I heard this overwhelming bang. And I looked at the side and Eric wasn't there. And I jumped out of the car and I just saw him lying in the middle of the road. And I immediately knew he was struck by lightning. I mean, the way that his shirt burnt, he had a black ring around his head. And I knew I needed help. So I just ran and I fetched my cell phone. And, you know, after 2 years, your cell phone's battery starts dying in the afternoon. So yeah. I couldn't see properly. So I jumped into the back of my car just to see the light. And I think sometimes when you're in distress, you go back to your childhood years. And I just thought, you know, who do I phone? My mom. And I made a phone call to my mom and I just said, Mom, phone the cavern. Eric's dead. I need help. And when I finished phoning my mom, I thought, you know, she's elderly. How could I burden my mom? And then I thought, okay, my brother was the one that said we should go to the cavern. And he was on my case all the time. Go to the cavern. And I phoned my brother and I said, Joe, Eric's dead. He's been struck by lightning. I never told him where we were. I didn't tell them which road we were on or anything. I just put the phone down. And I ran to Eric and I knelt beside him and I threw my arms up. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I have a disabled daughter and I can't raise and I can't cope with Stacy by myself. And then I just thought, okay, what do I do now? And then I thought, okay, I was on a CPR course 5 years ago, which I realized now the importance of it. And I just started of what I remember and recall of CPR. And I gave Eric like mouth to mouth, two breaths and three pushes on his chest, which I also now, looking back, wasn't hard enough, and two breaths again. And I don't know, you know, for me it's very vague how long I was busy, but I don't think it was too long. And then in the distance I saw a car coming. Afterwards, by the ladies, I heard there was first a taxi and then a Audi with people pulling in. But I cannot recall the taxi because I was just in a state of shock at that stage. And there were about four or five people in the car. And out of the car, I just ran to them. I said to them, help me. My husband's dead. I need your help. And the one lady got out of the car and her name was Sarah. And Sarah actually rebuked me in my words and she said to me, you do not use those words. And then Tessa got out and apparently there was another lady, Cecilia. I've just had WhatsApp conversations with them in the meantime. And then she said to me, lady, you're doing the CPR wrong. Let me help you. And then she showed me how to do the mouth-to-mouth properly. And she said, you got to push 30 to 35 times. And she pushed quite hard on Eric's chest because he complained about the pain the next day because of the way she pushed. And I then continued the two mouth-to-mouth and she did it and we did it for a little while. And me not knowing anything of the medical profession, it was for me very astounding to see when my husband's heart started to beat. Because I could immediately see he moved. And I was just so grateful at that stage for it. And then Eric, from there, he sat up. And like Eric never sits still, he actually got up And he got into the back of the cars and he sat behind the steering wheel.
So where I ended up behind the steering wheel again, when my total conscience came back, was that the dashboard lights were flashing. And the windscreen wipers, which are usually spring-loaded against the windscreen, were shot away from the windscreen. And they were moving. And the battery was busy dying. Mm-hmm. So I tried to start the car and switch off the windscreen wipers. And at the same time, I said, Gwen, where are you? And she said, here I am, to the right of me. And I said to her, what happened? And she said, you've been struck by lightning. And just then, a medic, his name's Stephen, arrived next to me with a heart rate monitor. He then plugged in the heart rate monitor, tore up the rest of the shirt and tore my pants and plugged the heart rate monitor in and monitored my heart for a period of time. I also remember that I said to him, I'm feeling nauseous. Now, plugged into a heart rate monitor. By this time, there was some rain. It was wet and it was cold. Both doors were open and he put a blanket over me, one of these light
foil blankets,
correct, over me. And he effectively said, your breathing is fine. But I'd said I'd feel nauseous. And obviously with this heart rate monitor plugged to me, I couldn't get out. So I retched along the side of the car. I remember all of that. I also remember the people who were there. There were a number of people, a guy with a beard and glasses, a lady with a blue shirt, light blue pants, and a bob cut. And I asked Gwen, who was that? And those were the owner's children of the cavern, also working at the cavern. So everything is in my memory vivid. I didn't lose a minute before and a minute after. I was back to conscience again. So the rationale goes, you know, with Gwen having spoken about the timing, you know, you can live three days without water, 3 weeks without food, and 4 to 5 minutes in cardiac arrest, which is essence where I was, without oxygen to the brain before the brain gets damaged. With the breathing that she did, obviously that bought some time. But I'm sure with these people traveling 6 kilometers, it didn't buy us the 16 minutes or whatever that they refer to. Maybe the professor wants to...
Yeah, let's ask the professor, what happens in those few minutes when he's... I put inverted commas, when he's dead.
Well, you can never dead until the doctor says you're dead, so you're okay. it's an amazing story, and lightning is so full of fiction, very little fact. Most people don't know what's going on. It's interesting what happens physiologically, because what happens when you get struck by lightning, most of what happens is that, from what you're saying, the lightning hits the car and then bounces onto you. It doesn't come down from heaven and hit you on the head. That happens very, very, very seldom, about 3% of cases. Most of it hits something and bounces out. And then what it does, when it gets to the brain, you've got two centers. One is the cardiac center that keeps the heart going, and one is the respiratory center that keeps you breathing. And it hits those two, and they kind of go into a state of kind of temporary shock. But the heart's got its own pacemaker. It's got its own generator. So the heart says, well, if you're going to do it for me, I'll do it myself. So the heart actually starts going again without you realizing it. But you're lying unconscious because you've been hit. And the respiratory center, the breathing center, takes a couple of minutes. So what happens is the heart stops, the breathing stops. The heart then starts again on its own, but there's no breathing. So the oxygen in the body gets less and less and less. And unless you start breathing for at least about 3 minutes, okay, the heart will go back again into standstill because it's got no oxygen at all, and that's when people die. So the most important thing that you do for anybody struck by lightning who's unconscious and looks like they're lifeless is to just breathe for them for about 3 minutes, and then the respiratory center comes back again. And then you sit up and say, let's get on what we're doing. It's exactly what you did.
Wow.
So it's not full CPR that you need in the first couple of minutes of somebody being struck by lightning. It's what you need. All you need is mouth to mouth. And as long as you can keep oxygen going for about 3 minutes, then you're okay. Because then the heart carries on getting enough oxygen until the breathing center then starts. It's only when the second one happens again, because nobody did the breathing, now you need full CPR. So Gwen saved your life with a good kiss of life and a few of those, I'm sure she gave, before and afterwards, I hope. Okay,
that's the best anniversary present.
the best, yes.
But the truth is that according to reports I've read, it wasn't Gwen who claimed to have saved your life, it was the nurse who arrived on the scene.
Well, me at that stage, yeah. I was trying to do the CPR, and only when they started doing the the pushes on his chest, that is when I felt that the life came back.
Yeah, okay. It things can happen coincidentally and simultaneously without you realizing it. But I think at the end of the day, if you look at the time period, if you look at the time he went down and then you went into the back and then you phoned your mom and then you phoned your brother and then you went into the back and then you got out, well, that takes time.
Mm.
And that takes a lot of time. But the time probably somebody stopped and got out the car and eventually got to do CPR. You're looking more than 5 or 6 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that 5 or 6 minutes, you would have gone into secondary cardiac arrest. So although no one can be 100% sure, I think you started the whole thing going. I think that they just carried on after that. And there we are. He's alive today. Thank God for that.
Yeah, Lionel, you want to say something?
Yes, Prof, I just want to find out, let's say somebody's struck by lightning and it's raining. What should we do? Do we take off our metal watches?
You know, there are so many fictions. Let's get a few things. First of all, there are only two places you're safe from lightning. One is in an all-metal car. So you've got a cabriolet, and the other one is a good cement solid structure. Those are the only two. And the reason why you're safe in a car is because the lightning hits, and lightning lasts for minute seconds. There isn't that time period. So it can't go through the metal. It goes on the outside of the car. It's got nothing to do with the tires. The tires don't come into this at all. Everybody thinks that the tires, it's got nothing to do with the tires, except that it just takes too long to get through the metal. So it goes on the outside of the car, and it goes down to earth, like all electricity does, okay? And you just happen to be touching onto the car with your elbow, okay, when the lightning hit the car. So that's probably how that one happened. But we say to kids, when lightning roars, go indoors. There is no safe place beside those two. If you're not inside a full metal vehicle and you're not inside a decent structure, you are at risk and it's dangerous. No matter what you do, no matter how you stand, how you sit, what you wear, what you don't wear, you're at full, complete danger. So there is no safe place outside, and people need to know that.
What about having a bath? My mom always says, don't bath the little one when it's raining or lightning.
She's right. She's right for the following reason, that 50% of people get struck, okay, standing on the ground.
Mm.
So what happens is the lightning hits the ground and then goes in a kind of a 365 degree outwards until it eventually gets less and less and less. If you're standing with about 50 meters over the ground's been hit, the lightning will travel along the ground and then come up your feet and can hit you that way.
Mm.
So if you're in a house that's got copper piping and metal piping as opposed to plastic, and it just happens to strike the side of the house, it goes down the house, it earths, and then it kind of hits the piping, it'll go up the piping. So you're not supposed to speak on a landline if it's lightning, because it can come up the wires.
You
shouldn't be washing dishes because you can be washing your dishes in a metal container and in the sink, and it can strike the lightning.
So I mean, we're foolish enough, Prof, to think that the lightning can't get through the doors and the windows.
No, you're right. It does. It comes up the ground and it goes through the pipes if they're all metal pipes.
Do you know what? Then I've been lying to my daughter because she's terrified of lightning, and I've been saying, "Don't worry, my darling. As long as we're inside, you absolutely safe." My 3-year-old an apology. Yeah.
So you don't have a bath, don't have a shower, don't do the washing at that kind of stage. Don't be on if you're on a mobile, you're fine. If you got a, because there's no connection to the ground or anything.
Okay.
And that's what you got to understand, that about 50% comes from the ground, which is why people who are outdoor sportsmen and people climbing mountains and going for walks, they are really dangerous because they're standing on the ground.
Oh.
We've had an entire football team in the Congo wiped out. They were just standing there having a discussion. All 11 of them were struck by lightning.
So forgive me, graphically, how does it work? The lightning strikes the ground and then bounces and hits the players?
It's not like it.
How do 10, 11 players get hit?
Because they're all standing together, and lightning hits an area very close to where they are.
Yes.
And now it goes along the ground, it comes up and hits them. And as it expands out, they all happen to be too close to the lightning. This comes up all their feet and hits them. But lightning doesn't just zap down.
Mm.
It's part of lightning comes down, and there's part of lightning comes up.
Okay.
And then they meet, and then you have a whole current that comes down. And you're looking at millions of volts that come very, very, very short in terms of its period. So lightning is something to be scared of. Lightning kills. Let's not understand that. Lightning kills. And in this country, we've had five kids playing soccer who were killed on a Saturday afternoon in KwaZulu-Natal, just playing in the rain. They didn't know any better. They're just having a good game of soccer. We've had three girls that were struck by lightning in Protea Glen last year. We had nine kids from Kes who were struck by lightning. So lightning kills, and it kills all over the world. It's something you really got to be scared of. And sometimes the problem is we're not. We need to take it very seriously.
So, Prof, the million-dollar question is, how far do I need to be from the thunder or lightning and when I say, hold on, let's get off this field, or let's go inside?
That's very simple. We say if lightning roars, go indoors. There's a 30-30 rule that everybody uses, and that's what we use in all of the professional sports throughout the world.
Yeah.
And the 30-30 rule that most professionals use, the first 30 is if you see lightning, you count 30 seconds. Okay, if you have thunder within that 30 seconds, it's within a 10-kilometer range and you're at risk, very high risk.
Mm.
Okay, and the second 30, which most people don't know, is that you wait 30 minutes until the storm has passed before you go outside. Because lightning doesn't just go forward. Lightning goes 365 degrees.
Are you worrying us unduly, or is this
No. Because 50% of people get struck by lightning going to do their washing after the storm's over because they think lightning's gone. Uh-huh. But it comes backwards. And so you can think, well, lightning's gone, if the storm's over, it's time to get out and carry on washing the car, whatever the case may be. But for 30 minutes, you stay indoors. Now, that's not a thing that we're alarming people about. Those are laws of life that you need to know about.
But then how do we not know this? Because, I mean, we're all sitting in studio quite sort of shell-shocked. And I'm also shell-shocked. Yeah.
But that's how when we play, I mean, I do a lot of work for FIFA. One of the things that we do, particularly when we have matches in Africa and there's lightning and rain, we have the 30-30 rule. And we say if we see lightning coming in, and it's within the 30, that's it. We suspend the match. We call it into the match.
So
we take everybody off the field. And the schools need to know that. And in many places around the world, you have lightning conductors and you have they have lightning detectors. When there are many golf courses where the moment lightning is detected automatically, an alarm goes. And everybody gets off.
But then, I mean, I think what we really need is lightning awareness. Because,
absolutely.
You know, I think most of us in studio would consider ourselves fairly well educated and up to scuff on what needs to be done. And clearly we're failing in a very large department.
We do.
That can kill you.
Yeah.
I've got a question here for the Prof.
Duncan,
We know that in Venda that Sangomas are able to summon lightning and send it to a neighbor's house. I don't know if that's a myth or if it's something that...
Well, I'm going to have to say the truth. It's a myth.
Okay.
Okay. There's a tree in this country when everybody says it attracts lightning. And if that tree is found on a farm, the farmer immediately cuts the tree down because he thinks he's going to get lightning. There must be 1,000 myths about light. There's so many things about lightning because it's one of those mystiques. It comes from who knows where, and you don't see it, and you find just people lying. And it has most people can't even spell lightning. They put an E in.
Oh.
Make it lightning. Okay. It's not this lightning.
Prof, I just want to find out. My grandmother always, whenever there was lightning, if there were mirrors, she would cover it with blanket, unplug the TVs and so forth. How true is that?
Myth.
Prof, I would just want to ask you, how safe is camping outdoors under trees in the summer? Are you safe in your tent?
Everything is safe unless there's lightning. Then you're not safe. And that's it. Okay, you're not safe anywhere. People go to bus shelters, not safe. As I said, if you're not a full metal car and a good concrete building, that's it. In the Lapa is
I'm
not safe.
I'm
going to
become
enough.
One of those people who sees a storm and like runs inside under my kitchen table.
Well, no, you don't have to go under the table, but you got to get indoors because that's what lightning does. Lightning has different ways of having its effect. One of them is on the ground. One of them is, for example, people stand next to a tree.
Yes.
Okay. What happens is the tree gets struck by lightning and then it bounces off and hits you. Okay. So that's a contact. And there are different ways in which this can happen. So what you said is 100% right. We don't educate people enough. We don't make people aware enough. We don't put it on television and newspapers enough until some person, unfortunately, then gets killed by lightning. There's a whole how do you do, and we stop right there. Mm-hmm. So there are two things that are important probably here. One is what you said is lightning, and the other one is what Gwen said is CPR.
Yeah.
Because people aren't dead. They get struck by lightning and they're just waiting for you to start doing some CPR, doing some mouth-to-mouth respiration, and off you go, and you can get them back again. And what do? They sit up and they get back in their motor car and say, let's carry on. That's what they do. And that's important. But most people stand around and do nothing. And they think the person's dead and they start praying for the corpse. There's no corpse. It's a person who's just waiting to have something done, and you can revive people. So those two things are very, very important. But you're right. I think education is the main thing here.
Okay, so just give us the first and second most important step. If someone's struck by lightning, what do we do?
Well, the first thing is safety.
Yep.
Okay, because this thing about lightning and never struck at the same place, also a myth. Okay, I've seen it 3 times in one place. So you got to be careful about your safety, because if you're going to go outside, you're now exposing yourself. So you really need to try and take the person, if you can, and drag them inside somewhere that's safe. Because otherwise you've got to realize that you're not safe. And then what you want to do is start CPR. Now, whichever way you remember, whatever it is, whatever you do is better than doing absolutely nothing. In lightning, the breathing is the most important part, not the actual compressions. But if you've been lying for a while, then because of the second kind of heart standstill, now you need proper CPR. As
Gwen mentioned someone did 30 or 35...
Yeah, today what we do is you'll do 30 compressions and 2 breaths, 30 compressions and 2 breaths, okay? Mm. And that's just one, the compressions is to get the blood flowing around the heart, and the breathing is to get oxygen in so you can breathe.
Can you describe a compression on radio?
Yes, you kind of take your hands and you put it on the chest, you straighten your elbows, you straighten your shoulder, so that it's almost like a rod. So you want a rod that's perpendicular to the chest. Mm. And what you're going to do is you're going to pump that up and down, up and down, up
and
down.
Is it on the heart or on the...
Right in the center of the chest.
And what about the thing of breaking someone's stone?
No, don't worry about that. Just you just take this, you make yourself into almost a rod, which is perpendicular to the chest, and you put the soft part of your hand, you know, where the muscles are, not where the fingers are, but the actual hand, and you press up and down as hard as fast as you can, and you do about 30 of those, and then you come and you do 2 breaths. You do it as hard as you can and as fast as you can. You break a couple of ribs. Afterwards, you'll discuss it with the patient. Sorry. They send a bouquet of flowers. But yeah, don't worry about those things.
And we'll defend it.
And if you have a rib that cracks, just say sorry and carry on doing it. Don't stop, because that's what's getting the blood going.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's there to get the blood moving, and that's what you need to do.
Is it a silly question to ask what one does with one's computer when there's lightning? Do you just take it?
Or disconnect it?
Do you pull it out the plug, or do you just switch off the...
No, take it out the plug. Because if lightning comes along a wire, it comes along a wire. Yeah. You get those which have got like electric surges, and they're supposed to kind of break the current. I wouldn't trust lightning. Lightning, you're dealing with millions of volts. Mm. Not just a couple of thousand. This is not high electricity.
What about when you go camping? Gwen asked, is there certain clothing you should wear? Rubber soles?
Nothing makes a difference. No. Your rubber soles can do nothing for a million volts of lightning. Mm. You've got to be aware that if you go camping, if you go hiking, if you go mountain climbing, wherever you go in the outdoor, you've got to know what the weather's going to bring.
What about Eric having taken off his watch, his metal watch? Did that make...
Made no difference. Just saved him a burn on his hands and saved him a watch.
This has been a wonderful chat, Eric. We're going to break right now for the ads. When we come back, we're going to talk to Carly as well about a proper anniversary, not one where you get struck by lightning. We're going to talk a little
more. Well, she saved his life. That's a proper anniversary.
True. We'll be right back after this.
CliffCentral.com.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861 276 453.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg with Kate, Duncan and Lionel. Welcome to you all. We've got a great studio today. It's been fascinating learning about lightning.
Well, the horrifying thing is we actually know absolutely nothing. So at least today, I hope you're listening and I hope you're taking notes.
Yeah. Lionel?
Yes. It's quite interesting, but I still find it very interesting that the man can come here to share his story. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Eric, during the break, there was something you wanted to ask the professor, and I said, just hold it until we come back live. What's the question?
So in terms of the injuries I've succumbed to, minor relative to death, I guess, I had a gold chain of 29 years around my neck, and that got burnt, nearly embedded into me, third-degree burns. No two links of that chain are joined together any longer. They burst them all. Mm-hmm. The other scenario is because my elbow was on the roll cage of the car with the door open, there's a hole under my arm the size of my thumb. And right beneath that, there is a dent in the car wider than my arm. And quite severe, and it shocked me when I saw that, because my rationale said, wow, the lightning entered me on the head, went through the top end of my body, gave me third degree burns other than the chain, and then basically dented the car.
And also the second part to that is he lucky to be alive?
Oh, there's no doubt he's lucky to be alive, because a lot of people that get struck by lightning, if you don't have resuscitation, you will die. Mm. If the heart stops and the breathing stops, you're going to die.
How come there's this massive dent in the car and yet the man is here to tell the tale?
You know, we have to understand that this is probably why the engineers spend a lot of time studying lightning. There's a whole lightning group in South Africa from various universities, from Transnet, etc., to try and discover all these physical laws and why things happen and what you can do about it and try and prevent the kind of stuff. But you've got millions of volts coming down that's going to hit a car and go on the outside of the car. And people that have in the rain where they'll be struck by lightning, the humidity and the wet between the clothes and the body is immediately vaporized. That's immediate steam. That's how hot it is. So that's how they blow clothes off. And I've seen, unfortunately, a golfer who died, that his tungsten club turned into just one big mesh of metal. So that's what happened to your necklace.
Oh.
You've got such heat there, and it just explodes off.
Oh.
So you're dealing with that kind of heat, and therefore that's why you're talking about third-degree burns, that's why you're talking about dents in the car. You're doing an incredible amount of heat over a minute period of time that just melts things, distorts things, vaporizes things, explodes things, because that's the kind of intensity you're talking about, not only electricity, but that electricity turns things into heat. It's in milliseconds.
Eric, talk to us about your injuries, your prognosis. What's happened to you and what they say your recovery will be?
So what then happened while I was in the car, basically Stephen took off the heart rate monitor, and at that stage Carla and the ambulance had arrived, and they asked me, I think it was Peter in the back of the ambulance, said to me, you know, can you get onto the bed? So I said, fine. And I got out and I got onto the bed, and they put me into the back. They tie me down and they put you in the back of the ambulance, and they took me down to Laverne Hospital down in Ladysmith. There I ended up in casualties, and they tried to clean it up, and that was a little bit tender at the time, I kind of recall. I also recall a lady that came into casualties I can't hear too much, and obviously now I know why, because my eardrums had burst, and she was singing, and I said, wow, the voice of an angel, and she just smiled and wanted to know more, etc. So the next day, Dr. Nair, a surgeon from there, came and assessed me, and he said, you realize we have to have an operation, and I said, I was a little bit skeptical because riding mountain bikes, I'd had a frozen shoulder and the likes. And Dr. Brecken up here in Joburg had sorted out the frozen shoulder and this hole in the arm. And the rest was a little close, and I was a little concerned that the shoulder gets infected again and so forth. So I said to him, would you mind if we come back up to Joburg? Anyway, we didn't have a vehicle to transport anything. My son drove down, and I drove all the way back with him. I wasn't flown back or anything fancy. And en route, my
this is CliffCentral.com.
We'd contacted her, and she'd kind of got the people lined up. First and foremost, Dr. Alan Barrow, also one of the top surgeons. He then arranged for a trauma surgeon, Dr. Monzen, and then Dr. Somar, who's the ENT specialist, and then Dr. Mia. And Dr. Mia, in essence, is the fantastic man who helped little Pippi Kruger. So, wow, it's just how all this then lined up. And then also ending up in trauma up here, Dr. Monzen walked in and he said, not too bad. And a little while later, Dr. Alan Barrow also pitched up and he assessed me and said, well, there's not much for us to do. It's more ear and skin. And I do know that Dr. Barrow then phoned Dr. Brecken and said, don't worry, Sparky's doing fine.
Are you the Sparky? What about your hearing? Have you lost some of that?
Yes, no, my hearing is gone. And here I must also say, 70% of the right eardrum is gone and 30% of the left one. So my wife then chirps up, oh, but then you've got 100% hearing and you still don't listen to me.
There you go. You said something on Facebook. You said, I'm feeling blessed beyond belief as our Lord and Savior rallied his angels to bring me back from death after a direct lightning strike.
Well, if you take the event as it happened and then the subsequent activities and people just generally arriving at the right time and all the people that were involved. I mean, when I was lying down in Laverne Hospital, two people put their head through the door and said, don't worry, Gwen is fine. And Carla, who drove the ambulance, basically had aligned her with a bed and breakfast. You couldn't even buy coffee at Laverne Hospital. Had aligned her and looked after her. The next day, my father-in-law and the owner of the bed and breakfast, he put in a day's leave and drove all the way back to the cavern to go and fetch all our goods, barring the car, obviously, and came all the way back and didn't want anything in return. So it's just totally amazing how all of these things happen. And every hospital I've been in, fantastic people who listened to the story and said, wow, you're so blessed. There are many people who've also said to me, you're so lucky. And I say, well, there's two versions to that story. I believe I'm blessed. You're lucky that I'm here to tell the story.
No, true that. I think you're standing there in grace right now, where you can share this story in a very empowering way. Thank you for this opportunity, I must say.
Yeah, thank you, Lionel. Yeah, true. Okay, let's talk to someone who heard about your story, and she said, I want to meet these people. I'd like to share with them what happened, and she's got something to say. Her name is Carly Collins, and she's very creative, imaginative, talented.
Bubbly.
Yeah, I used that word last time. Carly Collins, she's owner of South African School of Weddings. You wonder what she's doing here. She's also great with details in putting together the biggest functions. There's something that you want to talk to these good people about, Carly.
Well, when I got a phone call just to find out if there was any amazing or disaster stories in terms of anniversaries, and I must be honest, it's inspirational for you to sit here and listen to your story, especially the fact that you've been married 24 years. I mean, I live in a world where we do weddings, we create beautiful days, but a lot of the times they do have those stories where they don't last as long as the 24 years. And to see the love in your eyes for each other is amazing. So really, that's to be inspired by. So what I've managed to do is I've pulled on a few favors because I know it's an anniversary is very important, and a lot of people don't really celebrate anniversaries anymore, and they don't celebrate time with each other. And yes, we do it once a year, but I do believe that anniversaries should be every day because love is amazing. So what I have managed to do is Vilmi from the Cradle Valley Guest House in the Cradle has given you a two-night stay, a weeknight stay, as well as Casalinga restaurant, restaurant with amazing food. Yeah. And they've done a dinner for you and some spa treatments at the Riverview Spa. And I hope you just enjoy it, and may you continue to celebrate many, many years together, and continue to inspire people not only for the story that you've got, but also the love that you share for each other.
Okay, if you get tired of one another, you can invite us to join you. Casalinga, beautiful.
But once again, we've been blessed.
Yeah. There you go.
We appreciate it. That's Carly.
Many thanks to you, Carly.
Carly, thank you.
Yeah.
No,
it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And it was so lovely to see that, you know, we've had the prof here say that it was you that actually saved his life. And I think that's amazing, the story where you, in the beginning, you were like, no, it wasn't me, but it must have been like you. It. So it's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. And this year, if it's raining, you'll just stay indoors or in the car. Mm.
Let's talk about the traditions of Prof, you want to add something quickly?
Yeah. I just want to add to that. I think there's nothing more romantic and close than a wife who's going to save her husband's life right there. And I think officially, whatever anybody thinks, just what I hear, I want to tell you officially, you saved his life with a kiss of life.
Awesome. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you, my wife. I love you a lot.
Yeah, true. Let's talk about wedding gifts, traditional wedding anniversary gifts. And we know that the 60th is diamond and the 50th is gold and so on. Do you know some of it? Because I had a look. I found it quite interesting.
Yeah, there's paper, there's wood, there's china.
So what does it mean that you give, on your first anniversary, you give paper?
Yeah, so yeah. I did a little bit of research because, you know, I'm in the game of doing a wedding. So the anniversary is not really my part, but I have done a few. I'm finding it more and more now people are doing vow renewals, and it's becoming quite a trend right now. But the paper, I saw that people were buying rugby tickets and, you know, they were doing all sorts of things with paper.
How about a good old fashioned love letter?
Yeah, well, yes.
I think that's actually nice.
And the thing was, a day of no technology, and that was quite a big one that was coming out, you know, where you actually don't have a cell phone, a laptop, anything, which I thought was quite especially when we're all living
in
this
didn't
era.
You organize at Sun City, you were one of the planners. Yes, there was an 8 million rand anniversary,
an 18 year vow renewal.
18. Yeah.
It was something that was huge. It was 8 million. Yes, that's correct. Yes, it was very interesting.
Kate's going for 10 years. That's Tim. You know that, Kate.
It's a really shitty one, isn't it? I don't know. I've always been a bit, and maybe I'm just cynical, and I'm not saying this for everyone, but in my experience, vow renewals are generally when one of the parties has
have done something wrong.
and we're starting afresh. Yes. But I mean, that being said, you know what? True love actually does exist. It takes hard work. It takes dedication. And in terms of turning off your cell phone or your computer for a whole day, you should be doing that for a couple of hours with your spouse every single day.
And I do think date nights have also become quite popular because, you know, once a week or every 2 weeks or maybe once a month, that I think date nights are a must as well, because we just pass each other in the night, basically.
What about the prof? Do you do that, prof?
Have you got some
do you have
romantic
time? Yeah, do you have time to give a little romance to your wife?
No. I'm from beyond it. We gave for enough, 37 years?
Oh, wow.
Not much. Yeah. But I spend my life running around the world. So maybe that's what's kept it where it is today. But I do emergency medicine, which is what I do really.
Yes.
So besides running around for FIFA, which is a lot of work, I do disaster management. So I do urban search and rescue. So I'm the guy who goes to the earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanoes. Sure. And
you've
so
seen
that's
a
why
lot,
I said
yeah?
I'll be here today as long as there's no major disaster somewhere
so
in the
tricky
world.
To
well, this
re-plan
is
a
hopefully
week
this
away.
Is not the disaster.
So I'm always running around. I probably can travel 6 months a year at least. And I've just come back, and I'm going again. So
what a life!
You asked me at the right time, but you know, it's all.
If you don't look after your wife, someone else will. You got to be careful.
No,
I don't mind.
Absolutely,
but at the end of the day, you know, I'm there to save lives.
Yeah.
So you got to go. We got to go.
Carly, what about what I saw on not.com? They polled their Facebook fans about the worst wedding disasters. Okay,
you know, wedding disasters or anniversary disasters?
No, well, wedding disasters, because you're in that business. Here they say a wedding dress gets tucked into pantyhose as you walk down the aisle. That's one of the most common. Best man starts a fight. A drunken uncle hits on the bridesmaids, which is possibly something I could do.
Or the bride. Sometimes the bride.
Isn't
the bride
pretty much par for the course? It's the uncle.
And what about grandma wearing a see-through dress?
Oh, that's... I don't want to be there.
Rodney Dangerfield said something that I love. He says, my wife and I were happy for 20 years and then we met.
I'm taking a stand against sort of like long-term relationship and marriage bashing, because it takes hard work, it takes dedication, it's actually something that's worthwhile for both partners.
Well, it's phenomenal.
So stop it. It's not a horrible thing.
He's very happy. He's very happy that he met her. What do you say, Lionel?
Well, I'm not married, so I can't really speak much, but I know what it feels like to be in a relationship. I was in a relationship for 6 years, so... It really does take hard work, a lot of hard work and sacrifice. You got to sacrifice quite a lot, because it's no longer about you; it's about the other person as well.
Mm. Carly, what are people doing for their anniversaries? What are the most popular things that?
And can you give my husband some help?
I think every man needs help.
Dinner at home.
You know what? I've thought about it now after asking a few people, what did you do for your anniversary? I've thought about maybe it's another business opportunity, how to help you with your anniversaries. A lot of people are going away and, you know, just spending time with each other. But, you know, in terms of different, there's nothing, I don't know. I mean, it's about spending time with each other and having...
My next anniversary, I'm going camping, because when I stay in a hotel, I get struck by lightning.
I think your wife may appreciate the hotel. The camping.
So where are they going? Repeat, let's give credit to the people.
So they are going to Cradle Valley Guest Lodge in the Cradle. And obviously we had a nice dinner at Casalinga Restaurant and spa treatments at the Riverview Spa.
This is a marvellous prize, it really is. Well, I suppose you deserve it. I mean, we can kind of say that you've been through hell on earth. So you were nearly dead, we nearly lost you.
Yeah. Yes, I'm grateful, but then again, as with the professor, it's not about me. I've got a second lease on life, and very often people will say, why me? The question I'm asking, why am I still here? There's something else to follow, and I don't know what
that is. Well, I want to talk to you about that. I want to get a little serious, if I may, and then everyone can jump in. There's a thing called predetermination, that everything in your life is predetermined by God, and everything is willed by God. Do we believe that, or is there something else that creates coincidences, like the nurse arriving on the scene in the middle of nowhere to help you out? Hey, what is all this about?
I would call it God incidents, and I don't believe God plans out your life. He's given you something called choice, and you can override God's voice, because sometimes, and that's where I've been for a long time, I haven't really understood His calling. And now all of a sudden, through this enlightening scenario, I'm asking the question again.
Yeah, Lionel, you have some views on that.
No, yes, I do. Because I think one way or another, we are all interconnected, and God has got a purpose for us. And I think for you to be here today sharing your story is going to really empower a lot of people. And by so doing, you will be also enlightening other people to be better prepared next time when there is lightning.
You know, we reverse out our garage. We may take a second longer than normal, and then you involved in an accident. If you hadn't taken that extra second, you would have missed the accident. What is all that? That coincidence? Does anyone have a view on that?
My view is that everything that is happening in your life, it's meant to happen. Mm-hmm. And for you, for whatever reason that the outcome might be, it is there for your own benefit and the people's benefit. Because some people, they pass on, but in so doing, there is something that we learn. Like the last time we had a topic about a mother who actually who was grieving about her daughter's loss, but in so doing, she actually had empowered so many young people who were actually going through a difficult time. So in a way, it was a win and lose situation. So that to me was God's purpose, to say, this is what you are meant to do.
I suppose you want to say something, Prof?
Yeah, I think a number of things. The very fact that we're sitting here broadcasting to people out there who are listening to the knowledge that we're trying to give them, without us realizing what's going to happen the next 10 years, we might save somebody's life. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important. just the fact that we're talking about CPR and the fact that it did save your life and it can save many, many other people's lives is an educational thing for people like to go out there and say, you know, go and learn CPR, because 75% of CPR that is done is never done on a stranger, it's done on your family at home. And therefore, it's important for you to know this kind of thing. So, and you know, technically, if you're unconscious, you're not breathing and your heart stopped, which you did, you're dead. So you did come back from the dead, technically. And that is a second chance. And I see that also with the guys who have organ transplants. They get a second lease in life. And they call it the second chance. And then they do something different. They go out and either promote organ transplant or they go and do something that it's just going to make a difference. And eventually you'll find something, I think, that you say, I'm going to go for this and I'm going to promote this and go with this and help these people and go whatever the case may be because I want to make something of that second chance.
I think in line with something like that, though, the thing to recognize is that we're talking about people being given a physical chance. The fact is that everyone, without having some major incident happen to them, can actually make the decision to live the life they want to live without having first been or had the risk of it being deprived from them. So, you know, that's the thing. It's conscious living. If there's something you want to do, don't put it off till tomorrow. Mm. Don't sort of leave it for someone else to do. Get on with it.
Exactly that. It's a choice that you make. So the next time you're sitting in a traffic jam, just think about it. You might have ended up at the next intersection 10 minutes earlier or 5 minutes earlier and got hijacked.
That's it.
You're there for a purpose.
But
enjoy the time.
Don't wait for the bad thing to happen to you. But we're very, very pleased to still
have
you
going to change your life, Eric, in any way? I mean, are you going to retire earlier and enjoy it more? What do you propose doing now that you have a second lease, if I can use that term?
Well, I think from Gwen and myself, because of our daughter Stacey, we've decided now to spend more time together. Right now we can't, but because of business requirements, but the intention is that on weekends more specifically is to be able to spend more time together and dedicate more time to each other. In conjunction with that, it so happened that we did a testimony at the church two Sundays ago, and we've got two other requests to do the same. So yes, in terms of the period we're in now, understanding it's Easter, Jesus went to the grave for our sins and rose again. So from that perspective, it is such a pertinent story to tell right now. And if we can change one person's life, so be it.
I think you may have made a big difference, all of you and the prof as well, to my life. I'm certainly going to take greater precautions. I'm going to consider CPR, which is probably something I have to do, and be more careful. And not bath my little boy when it's lightning. Thank you for this. Really appreciate it. While I have you, Prof, you with FIFA.
Yeah.
Sudden cardiac arrest is also a leading cause of sudden death in footballers, which I found quite interesting. Why, if these athletes are so fit, should they have this?
You know, sudden cardiac arrest on the sports field as a whole is become almost into epidemic proportions at the moment. There's a lot of research that's going on. There's lots of papers that we published in terms of why it happens. Let's just get right down to the point because we haven't got much time. There are a number of causes. And one of the major causes that we found in the we divided into three groups, one under 16, one 16 to 35, and people over 35. Over 35 years of age is coronary heart disease. That's normal. Under 16, the commonest cause is what we call an upper respiratory tract infection-induced myocarditis. Now, what that means in simple language is somebody has flu. The virus is running around giving you a headache and a sore throat and a snotty nose, and then the virus goes. Sometimes it hangs around and goes to the heart and inflames the heart, hangs around there for 3 to 5 days and then goes. No symptoms, no signs, no nothing. Just the size, it likes the heart for a while, hangs around in the heart and off it goes. But if you decide to test your heart and play a 90-minute game of football or go for a marathon run or go for a swim, when your heart is inflamed, it doesn't like and it stops. So that is one of the problems we have in children. Now, we've done that the same research between the 16 and 35-year-olds, and we found the same thing. So what's happening around the world is that people are getting flu, they're getting this inflammation of the heart, but they're not giving them time to resist. So if you have a flu and you've got a fever or temperature,
do you stop exercising?
You should exercise for 3 days. Just give yourself
after or during?
For about 3 days afterwards. Okay. So that's the safe.
And we've got another good piece of advice today.
So if you're a serious sportsman or you have got flu, and you know if you've got flu, if you've got a blocked nose, you haven't got flu, but you've got a headache and you've got a fever,
If I go to gym regularly, do I stop going?
You stop going to gym the moment you get sick. And if you've got a fever, you stop gym and you wait for 3 days. The problem is you feel terrible for those 3 days because you want to go to gym.
Yeah.
So you think, forget about this, I'm going to gym. And then that's where people stop dropping down.
Okay.
And with contracts and competition and money and all that kind of stuff, that's what people are dropping, and they're dropping seriously. Yeah. We've had in this town 3 kids that I know of 15 years of old playing soccer drop down dead. Mm. And the last one was last year.
Okay, we've learned, Kate, it's been fascinating. Lionel,
we've learned tremendous amount. Yeah.
Please, I really learned a lot today.
Yeah. Please, Eric and Gwen, take a picture of yourselves at the Casaliga restaurant and at the lodge. Cradle Valley Lodge. We'll tweet it out afterwards.
Thank you.
And thank you, Carly. It's very nice of you to organize that.
Can you
organize me a week in in warm baths?
Struck by lightning.
God forbid.
Eric and Gwen, I think you've earned it.
The show's gone by like greased lightning. Many thanks to all of you. Brigitte Mayer, my researcher, many thanks for your help. To Lionel, Kate and Duncan and everyone in studio, until when is it, next Tuesday at 12 noon, Duncan's going to play us out with a great song. Thank you. Please listen to it.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com. Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. cliffcentral.com.